That's all a really cool video gets. All right, let's try that again. The video just ended. Yeah. Listen, it was a great video. You guys should be applauding that. It was pretty awesome. Okay, hello, friends. My name is Ka'eo. Say it with me. Ka'eo. And I'll be hanging out with you guys this week. I am stoked. Now, we're going to have you say it one more time because there are three vowels in there. And sometimes when people show up, they're like, Anna, is it K-O, K-O? So I'm going to help you out, all right? So it's K-A-O. Say it with me. K-A-O. If you say K-O, you're saying cornucopia in Hawaiian, which means you're saying I'm full of food, which is not what I currently am. And so say Ka'eo because names matter. And this week we're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of Daniel because we're walking through what it means to live a life essentially resilient for God's kingdom in a world that really pushes against all things God. And so that's what we're talking about today. I am stoked to be here. As Biscuit said, I'm a high school pastor down at the Well, down there at Well Community Church in like Fresno/Clovis. That's where I'm at. And of course, I want to get to know you. So on a count of three, I want you to say your name loud and proud, all right? So one, two, three. Somebody said Ka'eo, and that is not your name. That is not your name. We're going to try one more time. Ready? And one, two, three. Nice. Someone over here just went, ah. Like, that was, like, your time to, like, yell, ah. Well, I heard a couple names out there. I'm so stoked to see and meet all of you. Definitely find me throughout camp and say hi. Would love to get to know you. Here are a couple things that we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is obviously get into God's Word. So if you have your Bibles with you, which you should, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, all right? What book? Daniel. What chapter? What verses? 1 and 2. Now look, listen, if you don't know where Daniel is, that is okay. There's no shame or condemnation in this place, in this space. There's this thing called the table of contents. Go ahead, turn there. Look up Daniel and turn the page there. Maybe you have a buddy next to you that can help you out. Listen, I got stuck in Ezekiel for a while before I realized it where Daniel is. Is Daniel in the Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament. Okay, so that's where we're going to be today. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit more about myself. Obviously, my name is Ka'eo. I'm married. My wife's name is Cassie. She'll be here on Wednesday. She got some stuff down in Fresno for work. We don't have kids, but if you ask her, we have two. We have two dogs, and the bit we say is the whole reason, or the type of dogs we have is because my wife likes miniature things, and that's why she married me. And so our two dogs, instead of a Doberman Pinscher, we have a miniature Doberman Pinscher. We have a Minpin. Instead of a Greyhound, we had a Italian Greyhound, which is a miniature Greyhound. Instead of a Fox Terrier, we have a toy Fox Terrier. So that's us. We've been here in California for about 7 years now, and we love it. We're stoked to be in the valley, and we cannot wait to continue to see what God has for us. But like I said, I'm a high school pastor, but I have to tell you a secret. Just because I'm a high school pastor, I would have to say your age group is my favorite, absolute favorite. Yes. Here's the reason why. Because everyone who's your age to about eighth grade, they always come to me and be like, Ka'eo, I can't wait till I'm a high schooler. No, you don't want to get there. You thought your homework is hard now, wait till you get there. Your homework's way harder, okay? More responsibility. Listen, I promise you, don't always be wishing for the season ahead of you. Be currently present in the season that you're in now because God has something for you today. Because that's where we find ourselves, right? Hold on really quickly. Oh, we gotta do this exercise really quickly. I want you to close your eyes. This is a trust space. which means that we're going to build trust here. So when I say close your eyes, that means if you open your eyes when I say close your eyes, you are what? Breaking trust. And that is not good at all to continue to build what? Trust. So close your eyes. Whoop, shoom, close them. Some of you are trying to be so sneaky with your eyes open. Listen. Don't try to sneakily break trust. All right, close your eyes. Whoop, close them. Raise your hand if you are in fifth grade. Nice. Hold me count. Okay, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you're in sixth grade. Okay, hold on, let me count. All right, put them down. Raise your hand if you're not in school anymore. Some of you are looking right at me with your eyes open. All right, thank you. Thank you, leaders and counselors and teachers. Put your hands down. All right, eyes open. Boom. Listen. Okay, so really quickly. Are we in yesterday? No, we're not. Are we in tomorrow? No. We are in what? Today. We're in right now. We are in the middle. All right? Think about this. If you're a fifth grader, are you a fourth grader?
No.
If you're a fifth grader, are you a sixth grader?
Yeah.
No. You are in the middle. If you're in sixth grader, right? Are you a fifth grader?
No.
Are you in seventh grade?
No.
You are in the middle. Okay, so everyone starts saying, I am in the middle. Say it with me. I am in the middle. Yeah, you are. Come on now. And so we're located in the middle. And here's the thing. Are we in the Garden of Eden?
No.
No, unfortunately we're not. Are we in heaven yet?
No.
As close as human is, it's not. Where are we?
In the middle.
The middle. And we're gonna be looking at a guy in the Bible. Say guy in the Bible. We're going to be looking at a guy in the Bible who demonstrates and models what it looks like to live in the middle, all right? And his name is? Someone said Jesus, and that's, yes, but no, Daniel. Yes, we're going to be talking about this guy named Daniel. We're going to be looking at his life because he shows how to be an example of a faithful follower after the Lord in times of immense. Opposition. Yes, opposition. All right, okay, so what book?
Daniel.
What chapter?
One.
What verse?
We're
on in two. All right, so we're going to start off in verse one. You there? Blink twice if you're there. Cool, we're fluttering. That means we made it. Here we go. So it says, in the what?
Third.
Yeah, okay, so not all of us were there. All right, here we go. In the what?
Third
year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Who? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of what? Shinar, I got you, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. So essentially what happened was we have to answer a couple questions. So look up, look down, look to the left. Some of you need to learn what that is. To the right. Look at me. All right, okay, so we have to look at four characters or four things. The first thing we know is who is Judah or what is Judah? All right, next thing is who is Nebuchadnezzar, kingdom of Babylon? Why did Babylon take over Judah in a battle in the first place, right? And then where is God in the midst of this? Say where?
Where?
That's what we're looking for. Okay, so we got to walk through a couple things here. So verse one, you there?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, here we go. It says in the what? All right, in the third year. So the first thing we see is a timestamp. Say timestamp.
Timestamp.
And that's to give us historical understanding of this event. So this event actually took place. Okay, say actually.
Actually.
Yeah, it actually took place. Okay, all right. Whether you believe it or not, it's here. It happened. This is historical narrative. That means this is an event that actually happened. All right, the timestamp is the third year of Jehoiakim's reign, which lands us around 605 BC, so before Jesus was on this earth. We are introduced to two opposing kings, all right? So that means there are two kingdoms. Put your twos up. Excellent. Some of you are so funny. Twos up, all right? Okay, all right, so the first kingdom, we got kingdom of Judah, okay? Second kingdom, we got what? Babylon. Okay, so when I say, when I point here, you're Judah for just this right now. When I point here, you're?
Babylon.
Only for right now. We recognize that you're not that forever. Okay, here we go. All right, ready? And what that, oh wow, some of you aren't even pointing at it. I'm pointing in the middle. All right? And here's the thing. What you heard right there, that is the war that is our soul. Every single day, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you are constantly in this battle of you declaring that you follow Jesus and the world saying otherwise. We're constantly in this battle. We find ourselves in the middle of if I turn left, for the kingdom of God, or turn right for the kingdom of this world. That's why we love looking at the book of Daniel for this whole thing. So before we even get moving, we have to talk about the kingdom of Judah. Now, kingdom of Judah is in the southern half of the nation of Israel. Ooh, Israel, that contextually reminds us of a people called the Israelites, which means if we know anything about the Israelites, they were a culture that were centered on the worship of the one true God, Yahweh. Say Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Now remember, Yahweh is the name of what we would say who God is, all right? So when you say Yahweh, just like how names are important, it matters how you say it, all right? So the people of Judah were a chosen people of God since the time of Abraham in Genesis 11. They believed that God was a God of love that created them in his image and that they may represent him to this world, all right? And at the center of Judah, we're going to like geek out for a little bit. In the center of Judah was this temple, all right? And this temple, right, it stood in Jerusalem. It stood there since 957 BC. And this was the influence of the whole city, this temple in Jerusalem. The people of Judah lived their lives in dedication to the Lord through keeping of his commandments. This is something we know, commandments, right? What's one of the commandments? What's one of them? Okay, I love that now we decide to raise our hands. This is so funny to me. This one isn't a quiz now. What's one of the commandments? Say it. It's good. All right, I got it. Judah got it down. Judah got it down, which lived up to their name, all right? What's so funny is the first, no matter any, I asked this question to thousands of people in the course of my life, and it doesn't matter. The first thing that everyone always says is, thou shalt not murder. It's the first one we say. As if I thought you guys were all murderers. It's the first one we say. Then the second one we say is, do not steal. But no one ever says, obey your parents, honor your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. So we got some commandments like do not steal, right? We have another one, right? You shall not make a worship of any graven image or idols. You should not make meat eat, or you should not eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols, right? And these commandments, hold on really quickly, these commandments by God were given by God so you could have a committed relationship with his people. It wasn't to abuse them or destroy them, but to root his people of Judah in love. All right, and then we kind of see these commandments in the book that Darlene's carrying in the video. Another thing, all right, so the Israelites, these people, they had a language, and their language was
Hebrew.
Yes, some of them are Aramaic, but Hebrew is their general one, right? And each person was given a specific Hebrew name by their parents that served almost as an identifier. Now, really quickly, throughout this time, I'm gonna pitch out some questions for you to answer. And I'm going to pitch out some questions for it to be rhetorical. Rhetorical means I ask the question and you just think about it. That was rhetorical. All right, so when I say rhetorical, it means you're going to think about it. All right, so my first rhetorical question is, would it mean more to you if someone called you by your name or by the clothes that you wear? Hey, what's up, blue shirt? Or if they said, hey, insert your name here, rhetorical. Some of you don't understand, rhetorical, okay? We're not gonna get very far this week if you can't understand rhetorical, all right? Would it matter to you if someone said your name or someone just called you by what the clothes that you wore, All right, really important, really important. Because, say because. All right, half of you are listening. All right, say because. Because, right, their parents would spend, right, families in this culture would spend 8 days after their child was born coming to the Lord, praying, seeking God's guidance for what they would name their kid. That's a big deal. Now, I don't know about you, but I often don't spend like 8 days praying for anything, really. I'd be very confessional. I like pray in the moment, like, all right, Lord didn't answer, moving on, right? But they were so submitted to the Lord. We're getting this picture that God was their foundation for everything that they did. He was their God and they were his people. So now that we understand what the king of Judah is, we gotta look at what the king of Babylon is. Okay, so who's the king of Babylon during this time? Nebuchadnezzar, right? And his name, because names matter in the Old Testament, they matter, okay? His name means, O Nabu, watch over my heir. Exactly, you say what I do too. His name was dedicated to one of the gods of Babylon, and he was revered by the Babylonians, respected, almost like assumed by the Babylonians as a type of God himself. Okay, now what about Babylon, the king of Babylon? Okay, so Babylon kind of sounds like this story in the Bible about this group of people that tried to build a tower of Babel, right? Back in Genesis chapter 11, okay, there was a tower of Babel. Their history of Babylonian history can be traced all the way back to Genesis 11, where they sought out to be the God of their own lives. They thought their voice mattered just as much, if not more, than God's. They sought to be their own Lord of their own lives, and they rejected the God who created them. God then, in an act of love, through his grace, does not destroy the people building that tower, but confuses them by changing their languages, and the people scatter the earth. So the very bedrock and foundation of the culture of the history of Babylon is one marked by completely rejecting who? God and his love and his commandments and his statutes. We actually see Babylon mentioned again in the book of Revelation, so in Genesis and in Revelation, all right? And they're more of like a reference to a physical kingdom, like kind of what we see in Daniel, as a way to describe a culture that's completely against God and his ways. Their own narrative from Genesis to Revelation about their gods wasn't one of love, but rather one of love of humanity, okay? They kind of opposed this whole thing, and they rather chose murder. They chose violence. You kind of notice in the video, they said tied or what?
Die.
All right? Babylonians had a forceful submission to other people, completely opposite of the world of the people of Judah, who believe that God have made them to have a relationship with the creator God. So then it has to beg the question, why then would God have his kingdom of Judah be taken over by the Babylonians? What? Why would that happen? Right? And so, really quickly, your relationship with the Lord, your time in God's Bible, your like growth with knowing God's all the things of the Lord, it cannot be passive. Passive means you just sit and kind of let it do its thing. It's got to be active. Think about it. Rhetorical. If you play sports, right, do you just sit on the field and hope you get better at your whatever skill? I'm not an athlete. Whatever skills? Rhetorical. Right? If you play an instrument, do you just happen to hold the instrument in your hand and hopefully when someone tells you how to do things, eventually you'll play it better? Rhetorical. Have you ever, like for video games, just only watch people who stream video games and you can never get better at playing the video games because you just sit there and watch? It is the same thing with your relationship with the Lord. You cannot be passive in it. You have to be active. All right? So it's important that even right now, while we're here together, we're going to fight for our relationship with the Lord and our time with him, which means we're going to focus up to the best of our ability. Does that make sense? So when you're reading the scriptures, you have to be active when you read it. So when I read this, I'm like, wait, God, why? If you're a loving God, what happened? Why did you let that kingdom of Judah, your people, get taken by the Babylonians? Why? And you have to look. I love that the Bible explains the Bible. You get to go back, and we discover this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 4. We don't have time for you to go there. You can write that down. Jeremiah 25, 4. And this is what it writes. It says, "And the Lord has sent to you all his servants and prophets again and again." So God's Jeremiah's talking about the Israelites. "But you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way and from his evil of your deeds and dwell in the land which the Lord has given to you and your forefathers forever and ever." And then he goes on and says, "Do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Do not provoke me." God's saying, "Do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no harm." But we know. What did the Israelites do when they got out of Egypt? They made a what?
Golden idol.
What did God just say? Don't do that. Okay? So then verse 7, God goes on. He says, "Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them." Now we know why. They were not paying attention. And that's tough. That's really tough. The nation of Judah and the Jewish people had completely rejected God and were worshiping other gods and given themselves over to their own wants and desires. God warns them over and over and over again. "Hey, if you keep doing this, I'll be left with no choice but to discipline you." God goes, "You want other gods, Israelites? I will give them to you. You want to be a slave to your own desires? Okay, you just want to do whatever you want? Okay, fine, I'll let you. You want to be ruled by someone other than me?" At one point, the Israelites said, "Give me a king," because God wasn't good enough, I guess, right? So he says, "Great, I'll establish someone else." Now, look, I don't know about you, okay? I could be totally wrong here, which this age group loves to prove me wrong. So I could be totally wrong here, all right? But there is no way, absolutely no way, that I want to live a culture that wants nothing to do with God. I want to be a part of a society that glorifies a life that rebels against God. I don't necessarily want to live in a place that says live your truth and that's like the best phrase ever, okay? I don't want to live in a culture that encourages us to live our own lives, seek our own desires, no matter if it hurts someone else. And I don't want to be a part of a place that where my identity is found in the gods of money, influence, social status, jobs, my starting position on a team. I don't want to be in a place that mocks God. And this God, he loves me and you and wants us to live an abundant life. I don't want to live in a culture where if I go against the tide of self-sufficiency, aka I can do things all by myself, and autonomy, which is I don't need anybody else, I can do it all by myself. If I go against that and I choose to depend on God of the universe, who sent his son to die on the cross so that I can have a restored relationship with him, if I go against that, I get canceled. I don't want to be a part of that. Wait, that's where we live 51 out of the 52 weeks of our years. The other week is the week that you're currently here, in case you're wondering, okay? If you consider yourself a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus, we are currently living in modern day Babylon. We are not home. We are not where we're supposed to be. We're in a foreign land that rejects the very core thing about us. So then it begs the question, where is God then? Where's God? What is he doing? Verse 2, okay? If you're taking notes, you should write down verse 2. V, important, says ke'eo, K-A apostrophe E-O, right? All right, verse 2, very important. Put your twos up. Nice. The fact that we were delayed means we were writing. I'm proud of you, all right? Right. Verse 2, very important, because we're going to see where God is, all right? And it says, in verse 2, it says, and the who? The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. God was there from the beginning. Does it sound like God kind of had a plan? Yeah, it sounds like God kind of had a plan. He always has a plan. So if you're taking notes, write this down. God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Okay? God always has a what?
Plan.
Okay? So we see that God just lets the people of Judah into their own desires. Okay? But here is the thing. If God always has a plan, which you might find yourself in this place sometimes, hard stuff going on, God always has a plan, well then what in the world? Is he gonna save us? Is he gonna do something about it? Right? Kind of stuck in the middle. We don't know where the end is, but we should always continually read our scriptures. Don't take verses out of context. Read some more. So Jeremiah 27, verse 22, this is what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares the Lord. Where do we see that? In verse 2, did we hear about some vessels being taken? Didn't we read that? Hold on, let me go back. Verse 2, what does it say? Verse 2. Yeah, Judah's hand. With some of the vessels of the house of God, he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed them there. So where are they now? Are they in Judah? No, where are they? They're in Babylon. So verse 22 of Jeremiah says, they shall be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Does it sound like God has a plan? Sounds like God has a plan. And that goes to us, that goes for us today. We're in the middle, and sometimes we're like, are you gonna rescue us? I don't know. God has a plan. God always has a plan. The Lord will rescue us from a world in deep rebellion towards him. And he will take us home because our home is with him. So I wanna read this, so write this down because I want you to read this later, and we're gonna wrap up, okay? Okay? Some of you are like smiling now because you're like, finally, praise the Lord, right? Okay, write this down. 1 Peter, 1 Peter, okay? 1 Peter, chapter 1, colon, verse 3-5, okay? 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I'm gonna read it for you, but I want you to read it maybe during your jam time, all right? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Dang, that's good. And who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready. All right, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That's the hope we have. All right, so everyone look to the left, look to the right, look down, look up, look at me. If you've forgotten anything that I said all this entire time, right, here are the two things I want to make sure you remember. Number one, God always has a plan. Number two, we are in the middle. We are in the middle. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes, and then let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and God, pray for me and my friends. There's a lot of stuff, God, that we covered today, but that's just in two verses, Lord, and I am stoked to see what you have when we actually get to see Daniel in action. But that just reminds us, Lord, that we can learn so much about who you are and your love for us, even when we read one verse. God, I pray for me and my friends that we be encouraged that even if we find ourselves in the middle, you are with us. We love you. Protestants, your son's name, and we said...